Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are really getting into the weeds on the technical pillars holding up, well, pretty much all modern media.
Yeah, exactly. From those huge blockbuster effects to, the magazines you flip through digitally, there are these three core areas always involved: animation, special effects, and digital imaging.
Right. And our mission today isn't just about definitions. We want to connect the dots for you, show you the actual processes, the specific techniques media pros are using day in, day out.
The goal is you walk away understanding the jargon,
Yeah.
sure, but also the workflow, and crucially, the functional differences between these essential tools.
We know you need this info, quickly but thoroughly. So let's jump right in. Let's start with that fundamental production question. Okay, let's unpack this. How do we tell the difference between what's real and what's rendered?
Ah, that's the perfect place to start. Real versus rendered. Because in the media world, especially film and TV, you hear SFX and VFX thrown around a lot.
Special effects and
Yeah.
visual effects, yeah.
Right. And they sound similar, but they're fundamentally different. It's all about where and when the magic happens.
Okay, so break that down. SFX first.
Sure. Special effects, SFX, that's anything that happens in the real world.
Yeah.
Physically, on the set, usually right there during filming. Think of it as practical magic.
Practical magic. I like that. So, what kind of things are we talking about?
Well, the sources give a really clear list. It's all the physical stuff, like
Yeah.
stunts, actual physical props someone interacts with, animatronics.
Animatronics, like robotic puppets.
Exactly. Robotic puppets, prosthetics for makeup effects, pyrotechnics, explosions, and fire,
Okay.
and even live action weather, making it rain on set, wind machines.
Right. If the camera actually sees it happening physically, that's
That's
SFX.
the key. Captured directly by the camera.
It sounds, well, expensive. It may be complicated, even dangerous sometimes.
It absolutely can be all of those things, which leads to your point.
Yeah, it makes you wonder why bother with all that complex, costly SFX when visual effects, VFX, can seemingly create anything digitally now.
And that is the million-dollar question in modern production, isn't it? Because VFX, visual effects, is the opposite. It's entirely digital,
Okay.
created using computers, almost always added after filming in post-production.
Post-production. Right.
And the reason VFX is so huge now: flexibility, control.
You can tweak it endlessly, I guess.
Pretty much. The applications are vast, but think about key examples like digital environments. Using a green screen is classic VFX. Film the actors against green, then digitally dropping any background you want later.
Makes sense.
Or digital removal. That's a big one. Getting rid of things you don't want in the shot.
Like wires holding an actor up.
Exactly. Wire removal for flight scenes, maybe removing safety equipment, or even unwanted logos. The computer just paints them out.
The notes mention something specific I found interesting, landscape alteration.
Ah, yeah. That's a great example of the power of VFX.
Like filming on, say, a muddy field.
Right, maybe for budget reasons or location access.
And then in post, you just digitally replace that mud with, I don't know, lush grass or an alien planet surface.
Precisely. The computer builds the reality after the fact.
Yeah.
What's fascinating here is the fundamental difference is where and when the effect is generated, shaping our perception of reality.
Right.
SFX is physics and chemistry on shoot day.
Okay.
VFX is math and algorithms, maybe weeks or months later in a computer lab.
But you also mentioned they often work together now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's rare for a big production to rely purely on one or the other today. Think of a huge explosion. You might film a smaller, controlled physical blast on set. That's the SFX element.
Okay, provides a real base.
Exactly. Then in post-production, you use VFX to add layers of digital fire, smoke, debris, making it look enormous and way more dangerous than it actually
So
was.
the boundary gets kind of
It
blurry.
really does,
Yeah.
which means professionals often need expertise in both areas, or at least understand how they integrate.
That blending physical effects enhanced digitally, that actually leads us nicely into animation. Because animation is all about controlled, sequential creation, often digital these days, and it's huge across so many media sectors.
Yeah, animation's core idea is pretty simple, really. It's about using a series of drawings or graphics
Yeah.
shown rapidly one after another to create that illusion of movement, of life.
The illusion of life. But how you achieve that illusion, well, there are lots of different ways, right?
Oh, tons of methods. And each gives you a different look, different budget implications, different workflows.
So let's maybe break down the main techniques the industry uses. The notes list three core types.
Okay.
First, there's the old school method, traditional hand-drawn animation.
Right, the classic Disney style. frame by painstaking frame, usually two-dimensional artwork, incredibly labor-intensive.
Decades of history there, but now...
Now, the big player is definitely computer-generated animation, CG.
That seems to cover a lot, though.
It does.
Yeah.
It includes modern 2D digital animation, which mimics the hand-drawn look but uses computers, and, more obviously, those massive 3D animated films we see from Pixar, DreamWorks, etc.
Right, the fully rendered 3D world.
Exactly. That technique allows for really complex simulations, realistic physics, stuff that's just impossible or way too costly to do by hand.
Okay, so hand-drawn, CG, what's the third type?
The third main category is stop-motion animation.
Ah, like Wallace and Gromit or those Wes Anderson films.
Perfect examples. That's where you take physical models, puppets, clay figures, whatever, and you physically move them tiny amounts, taking a picture, move it again, take another picture, frame by single frame.
It sounds incredibly meticulous.
It is, but it gives this really unique tactile quality. You can almost feel the materials.
So the technique you choose really impacts the whole project.
Absolutely. Timeline, budget, the whole visual style.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3D CG is great for scalability. Build a digital character model once. You can reuse it from any angle in any scene.
Efficient.
Whereas stop motion, you might choose that because it looks handmade, slightly imperfect. It gives it texture.
Understanding the utility of each method is key then.
Definitely essential knowledge for anyone in media.
Okay, so we've covered effects, real and digital, and animation techniques. Now let's talk about the bedrock tech that kind of underpins a lot of this, especially CG animation and VFX, but also things like publishing and design. Let's shift focus to digital imaging and graphics.
Right. Digital imaging and graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Broadly, this is just creating photos, illustrations, graphics using computers.
Okay.
And to do that, you obviously need the right tools, starting with the hardware, the physical stuff.
You need the gear to actually capture or create the image in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So things like digital cameras, obviously, and scanners too, right, for digitizing physical artwork or photos.
Exactly. Converting light or physical objects into digital data the computer can understand.
And then the computer itself.
And the computer itself, yeah.
Yeah.
Not just any computer, usually, for professional work.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking powerful workstations needed to create complex images from scratch, handle really demanding edits, and crucially, for rendering.
Rendering. That's a term you hear a lot. What does that mean exactly in this context?
Rendering is basically the final step where the computer does all the heavy calculation.
Mm.
It takes all the raw data, the 3D models, textures, lighting information, animation paths, and processes it all to create the final viewable image or frame of animation. It can take a long time for complex scenes.
Gotcha. So hardware is the engine, but the software, that's where the artist actually works their magic.
Absolutely. The software is the interface.
And the notes give a really useful breakdown here, listing specific software by function. That seems super helpful for understanding the landscape.
Yeah, grouping them by what they do is key. So first up, you've got software for editing existing digital images. Think photos or anything made of pixels, which we call raster graphics.
Not like touching up a photo.
Exactly. Retouching, color correction, compositing images together, applying filters.
Yeah.
The industry standards here are definitely Adobe Photoshop. And Serif Affinity Photo is a major competitor now, too.
Right.
And the notes also mention GIMP.
Yep.
Yeah, GIMP. It's a really powerful open source alternative. Free to use, which is a big plus for many artists and smaller studios.
Uh-huh.
Does a lot of what Photoshop does.
Okay, so Photoshop, Affinity Photo, GIMP. Those are mainly for pixel-based images, photos.
Primarily, yes. Manipulating pixels.
But what if you're creating something totally from scratch, like a company logo or maybe a complex diagram or illustration? The notes list different software for that, for illustration. Why not just draw in Photoshop? What's the difference?
That is the critical technical distinction here. It's fundamental. Software like Adobe Illustrator or its main competitor, Serif Affinity Designer, they don't primarily work with pixels.
No. What do they use then?
They work with vectors.
Vectors. Okay. Technical term. What does that mean practically?
Okay. So raster images, like photos in Photoshop, are made of a fixed grid of tiny colored squares, pixels.
Right. Yeah, like zooming in really close on a photo, you see the squares.
Exactly. Now, vector graphics aren't based on pixels. They're based on mathematical equations. Lines, curves, shapes are all defined by math.
Okay. Math. So what's the advantage of that?
Scalability. Infinite scalability,
yeah,
without losing quality. That's the huge advantage. Because it's just math. You can take a vector logo made in Illustrator, use it as a tiny icon on a website,
mm-hmm,
and then scale that exact same file up to print on the side of a building, and it will be perfectly sharp.
Yeah.
No pixelation, no blurriness.
Wow, okay. But if you tried that with a Photoshop image.
It would become a blurry, pixelated mess if you scaled it up too much.
Yeah.
Because you're just stretching those fixed pixels.
So Illustrator and Affinity Designer for logos, branding, anything that needs to be resized cleanly.
Absolutely essential. Mandatory for professional print work, logo design, type design, complex illustrations.
That vector versus raster distinction, that's gold. That really clarifies why you need different tools.
It really does. It dictates the whole workflow and what's possible.
Okay, so image editing, raster, illustration, vector. What's the third software category mentioned?
The third group is software dedicated to page layout, often called desktop publishing, or DTP.
DTP.
Think about putting together a magazine or a book or a complex brochure. It's not just one image or one illustration. You're combining text, multiple photos, graphics, setting margins, page numbers, handling typography.
Right, managing the whole document structure.
Precisely. So tools like Adobe InDesign, and again, Serif has Affinity Publisher. These are specifically built for that. They're layout programs designed to integrate all those different elements precisely for print or complex digital documents.
So you wouldn't really design a whole magazine in Photoshop or Illustrator.
You could, technically, but it would be incredibly inefficient and lack the specific tools needed for professional multi-page work, especially handling large amounts of text and print preparation. InDesign and Publisher are purpose-built. We connect this to the bigger picture. These specific tools, Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, and their competitors, they really define the output and the quality you can achieve across so many fields. Publishing, web design, even video graphics often start here. Knowing the difference, image editor, illustration tool, layout program, it's absolutely key to understanding the whole media production workflow.
That really paints a clear picture of the digital toolkit. Excellent. Okay, so let's just quickly synthesize what we've covered in this deep dive.
Yeah, let's recap.
We started by drawing that line, albeit one that's getting fuzzier, between SFX, the real world, practical effects like stunts, pyro, animatronics, and VFX, the computer-generated effects like green screens, wire removal, digital environments.
Real versus digital, on-set versus post-production. Yep.
Then we moved into animation. We hit the three core types. The classic hand-drawn.
Labor of love.
Uh-huh. The dominant computer-generated, both 2D and 3D.
Where most of the action is today.
And that tactile frame-by-frame world of stop motion and why you'd pick one over the other.
Right. The utility behind the choice.
And finally, we just broke down digital imaging. The hardware needed, cameras, scanners, powerful computers for rendering.
The basic toolkit.
And then the crucial software differences. Raster editors, like Photoshop for pixels. Vector illustrators, like Illustrator for scalable math-based graphics, and layout programs like InDesign for putting it all together.
That raster vector point being key.
Absolutely. So what does this all mean for you listening?
Yeah, the takeaway.
Well, knowing this terminology, these specific tools, understanding that vector raster difference,
yeah,
it gives you that foundation. You can now better understand the practical application of media production. You know what they're doing, but also how they're likely doing it.
Down to the software, potentially.
Right down to the software and its inherent capabilities or limitations.
And the sources we looked at really hammered home the importance of integration.
Integration, yeah.
How these fields don't exist in isolation anymore. Animation leans heavily on digital graphic software for rendering. VFX constantly builds upon or enhances real-world SFX. Success is often measured by how seamlessly it all blends.
So it's all interconnected.
Deeply. Which brings me to a final thought, maybe a challenge for you.
Yeah.
If successful media production is now about this seamless integration, this blend, where digital enhancement is almost standard, then how much longer will that clear, hard line we define today, the line between purely physical SFX and purely digital VFX, how long will that distinction really hold up in major productions?
That's a really provocative question.
Something to think about.
We define the lines today, but maybe your homework is to watch the next big blockbuster or look closely at a complex graphic novel and see just how blurry that line is becoming. Look for the seams or maybe be impressed by the lack of them.
Exactly.
A challenging thought indeed. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.